Well, greetings, friends. It's good to be with you here this morning and throughout the internet system, throughout the body of Christ, and in different places. We never are sure. And along that line, I received an email just recently from a sister in Bermuda, place I'd like to be this morning. And good evening, my name is, and she gave us her name, from the island of Bermuda. And I've recently been watching the ministry via YouTube and would like to know if I can receive your monthly CDs. It would also be, and would it also be possible to receive the hard copies of some of your publications? And gave us her address and the publications to start. I would like on the gospel and the reality of our being in Christ. Well, Charlene, and I'm thinking that I'm pronouncing Charlene correctly, S-H-I-R-L-E-N-E. And in the first place, we're grateful that you have found us on the internet and on YouTube, and it's a joy to have you with us. And as part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in different places around the world, and we're glad that you gather together with us in Him. It is certainly possible with this mailing address that you gave us for you to receive the monthly CDs. It would be a pleasure to send them to you. And also the publications which you requested, I found up here day before yesterday, and I was looking at them again yesterday. So we'll be happy to mail those to you as well. And I'm talking to you now because you may very well be with us this morning or in the recording of this or whatever, but I'll also answer your email. It's a tremendous thing. I hear from people very recently. I just heard from another brother, and the joy of this is in the realization that we do reach out beyond ourselves with this gospel. And that's the purpose of our gathering here. That's the purpose of our being here. When we first planned on even building these facilities as a fellowship, it was for exactly what we are now doing. And that is, in every way that we can, whether it be through publications, whether it be by ministering out from here in meetings and Bible conferences and traveling ministry, or whether it be as it is developing now through the internet. And sometimes I wonder what will be next, because I would never have guessed that there would be an internet, nor a YouTube, nor any of the other things that are on it. But we're glad to use it for the expansion of this gospel. And we appreciate all of you who not only gather together with us in that reality, but also work with us toward the expanding of that reality, ever reaching out. Because particularly with this aspect of the ministry, of the outreach, you never know. The internet, we have by it communicated with brothers and sisters, with the Lord's body in so many different countries. Some of those countries I wouldn't have expected to even, because I had been there, I wouldn't expected to even have electricity, let alone internet. But sure enough, it's there. And we are reaching there into the Lord's body. So it's just a tremendous thing, a tremendous thing. And since I just received this email, I thought I'd mention it this morning. And we're looking forward to an outreach in that part of the world, Bermuda. At first, I was thinking, I don't know, this came into my mind, Nassau, Bahamas. We're not talking about Bahamas. We're talking about Bermuda, which is in the same part of the world, but different islands, different islands. All right, let's continue this morning. We have been dealing basically with the general subject matter, I guess we could say, of one of the publications the sister requested, the reality of being in Christ. We've been talking about that reality. And we've been using several headings. One is our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. What it means to be in Christ. What is that union with Christ, and what is it based upon? Our union with Christ. It certainly is not based upon any religious denomination to which we may or may not belong. Our union with Christ is spirit, and it is life. And because it is a corporate union, then it draws believers together as a corporate expression of a spiritual reality here on earth. Our gathering together, our sharing together, our ministering together, and all the ways and facets that is done is in fact a corporate expression of the reality of that union with Christ. And so we've been looking at it because it is the very substance of our salvation is our union with Christ. And we've looked at that in John 14. You can find it everywhere. But there are places where the Lord Jesus was very specific about that union. And most of the time, well, every time that you look into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and see something relating to that union, it will always be either at a time that relates to the cross, or it will be a declaration that Christ himself is making concerning the cross. Our union with Christ is always centered in the cross. Why? Because the substance of that union is, in fact, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. It isn't based upon you. It's not based upon me. It's based upon him. You and I become partakers of it. But I mean the very backbone of it, the substance of it, the center of it, the heart of it, the soul of it, is in that statement that Paul makes. I used to call that Paul's declaration of faith. Declaration of faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And our whole union with Christ comes to be that very thing. And that is so tremendous. It is so unthinkable by the natural mind. Because you see, most of the time when you think of union, even in a marriage, which I know it sets up, you know, as one flesh and so forth. I realize that. That's in the scripture. I realize that. But still, it's a husband and wife. And though it may be a type and shadow of that union we have with Christ, that's exactly what it is, a type and shadow. Because our union with Christ is not, and I'm going into that, is not based upon two. It is based upon and is a reality of One. So much so that even those who are in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, and on and on and on and on that goes, as you well know in the scripture. But as many as are in Christ have become not many bodies, not many houses, none of that, have become one body. How? Because only one life lives in it. And that life, see, Christ is not something that has life. Christ himself is the life. What a transformation there would be in the church today, presently, throughout the church, if believers would just grasp that reality. That reality that we are one because one lives in us. And he is life. He is the living one. He is life itself. Eternal. And that's the substance of our union with Him. Well, all right. We say that a good deal. But after having said everything that we said, I don't know how many years. It doesn't make any difference how many years that I have walked in that understanding, always growing in that understanding, and how many years we have shared that. It doesn't really make any difference, because it is an understanding that is always growing. So it's a word I can use right now. Always growing. Because the understanding of it is not based upon me understanding Christ in that way, but it is upon the understanding of Christ being imparted by the Spirit of God into my soul, so that my soul sees union in a whole different way. My soul no longer sees two, like me living for Jesus. My soul begins to come to an understanding that this is not about, and you have to listen very carefully here, it's just not about me living for Jesus. This is about me having no life but Jesus. This is about me not living except that Christ, who is life, lives in me. This is about a union that is not founded upon me following Jesus. This is about a union into which my soul has been brought by the Spirit of Christ. My soul has been brought into a union that was eternal when I got there, eternal before I got there, eternal in the heavens. I didn't add to it. I didn't bring anything into it. The whole thing is a work of grace, God's true grace, not what we hear preached as grace today, but the true grace of God, the true work of God in His Son. So it's not, that union is nothing that I can desire. I came there by the cross. See, Paul can't even talk about that union in real explicit terms until he says, I am crucified with Christ. Or in other places, he makes a declaration concerning Christ and Him crucified. He always centers it in the cross. Why? Because it isn't about Paul. It's about the salvation of God given to Paul. It's about a relationship that the Spirit of God has brought that soul into. How? By dwelling in that soul. Who dwells there? Christ dwells there in that soul. He brings that union into our soul. And so that's why I'm trying to tell you, it's not about two. One day, believer friends, throughout, one day. I don't mean one day he's going to come. He is come. But one day, you'll realize that if you set your heart on knowing him. And all of a sudden, you'll realize, my God, it's not about me. I can't define this union. I couldn't even live in a union like this. But it's not me living as it was before I came to him. It's not me now made better and living better in me. It's just a good, well, made over me. That's not salvation. It's not a made over me. It's a dead one. And the life that I have is the resurrection himself living in me. Honey, if you take him out of this picture and salvation disappears. Take him out of this picture, his whole body disappears. It all just disappears. It doesn't exist except that he live in it. And it, that house, that body, lives by the life that he is. The soul of our The very soul of our salvation is that Christ liveth in me. Because he is the salvation, the life of my soul and of yours. And of yours, son. Matthew 16. I started sharing this last Wednesday in the Wednesday night Bible class. And because it is such a large thing that we're looking at here, such a vastness, when we start talking about union with Christ and start talking about the reality of being in Christ, because you bring right into it the union of the Son and the Father, and then our union with the Son, and then the Son living in us. John 14, right on up to and including and through verse 20. And just everything begins to be gathered into it. And as I was searching this, it took me to Matthew 16, verse 16 through 19. And I've been trying to get here, but I just, most of the time in these Sunday sessions, sit down and just begin to talk about this union and the gloriousness of it and the salvation of which this union is the very substance, and I never really get to the notes, never really begin to look at it as I would like to. So we're going to do that this morning. Matthew 16, verse 16 through verse 19. Now, this is not one of the epistles. No, it isn't. But it relates to most all of the epistles. I'm sure probably all of them. But particularly, we're going to look at this in the light of the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter there. And but you begin to look in the Gospels and begin to pay attention to what Christ particularly says to his disciples. Particularly. And lo and behold, there it is. Him declaring such a union that is yet to come. And we know that because we've read that in John 14 until we've almost memorized John 14, 15, 16, and 17. But here in Matthew 16, and it's really tremendous. I did mention it on the last two or maybe three monthly CDs, but I know particularly on the last two. January's CD, I was talking about these very verses. But I want us to look at them and just hear what the Lord is saying. So let me read it to you, and we'll focus on those verses, but here's the area, and it begins with verse 13, and then that goes through verse 20. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I pretty well did the Wednesday night class, the one that I teach, on that verse right there. So I'll leave that alone. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's hard to leave it alone. Because these disciples were having, you know, religious discussions with everybody, particularly with the Jews. The Jews just followed them around, asking them questions and trying to, you know, get them to make a comment or a commitment. Remind you of a certain group of people that we have in the earth today, whatever country it may be, these same people are there. So who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, that's amazing, because if they actually really believe that, I mean, if these men that he's talking about, if they believe that, they're saying John the Baptist, they'd have to be saying John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, because John the Baptist had his head cut off and presented on a platter. So they, just think about this now. Well, they said, you're John the Baptist. Now, that would be a tremendous statement to make. That would show that they couldn't say that unless they're really believing that John is actually raised from the dead, his head's back on, and he's walking around here talking to us. Isn't that something? What a great miracle. But sweetheart, that isn't even a shadow of the truth concerning Christ. He is much more than a John the Baptist could have been, even a resurrected John the Baptist with his head on. I mean, you know, come on. And these others that they mentioned were all Old Testament prophets. All of them were dead. And now they believe that, well, it's one of them. They believed everything except who he really was and is. They would have accepted him under any other condition than the condition he gave to them, which was, I am he. I am he of whom the prophets speak. I am he. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh my. Now they wanted none of that. Now, darling, here's one of the real sorrowful conditions in many precious believers today. Many precious believers today. Now, you can tell them Jesus is our Savior. He saves us from our sins. He is our deliverer. He will deliver you from bad situations. He'll deliver you from sickness. And we could just continue that line. Wonderful things. All of them wonderful things. And yet, if you mention to those same believers, Christ is come, and he, by his eternal spirit, he lives in you. So much so, you have no life other than him. It's not about you and him. It's about he in you. And go down that line. Because you see, he has come in what you're saying. He has come from being without to being within. He has come from being one who is gladly received as one who just blesses my life. He's blessed me and blessed. Please just hear what I'm trying to tell you from an outside perspective. To come from that to, he is my life. I do not have a life of my own. And hon, everybody is trying to cling to that. Trying to cling to that. You just think about it. Because we're talking about the reality of being in Christ. That's what we're talking about. And I was, and I don't know what brought me to this part of the Bible right here, but whatever it was did, and here's what I, and I haven't gotten out of it yet. I haven't gotten away from it yet. And on Wednesday, no, I didn't talk about what I'm talking about with here this morning, but I'm looking at the very same verse. Because it just begins to expand in me, because every time I read here, since I started looking here in this particular study, every time I go here, the Spirit of God begins to, it's more real more real. Than it is right here in the Scripture. Because the Spirit of God, He just speaking in me, in my very soul. And it comes in that same order. What? Whom do men that you're talking to, that you know, that you deal with, and most all of mine is in the church world one way or another, whom do they say that I am? Well, and here we go down our line, and that didn't impress the Lord at all. I mean, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, goodness gracious. No, they all fell far short of coming anywhere, even in the same realm as being Him, with all of the miracles and all that goes with that. Do you see something else there? Do you understand that if He had said, yes, that's who I am, that all of these that had been asking His disciples, and that was the leadership of the Jews and the Jewish people and the Pharisees, they all got a hold of the disciples and tried to grill them. If in their talking to Jesus, He would have said, that's who I am. They would have received Him, even knowing that those, that one, whoever, Jeremiah, whoever, back from the dead. John, back from the dead. They would have believed Him. It's very evident. I mean, He even tells them in one place, that's amazing. But when He looked straight at them and declared Himself to be who He actually was, the Son of God, the Christ that is come and standing here in front of you, they tried to kill Him. They ran up on Him at one time, beating on Him. They wanted to get rid of that whole concept. So He turns to His disciples and asks them. But all He's doing is setting them up for this next question. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Because He actually knew what all those others said. They'd said it all to Him. He knew that. But to His disciples, those whom He had chosen, you bring that over, because we know that these were those in whom He did dwell after Pentecost. And these were those who were brought right into Him in a living union. Now, that hadn't taken place yet, except in the knowledge of the Lord, because He knew. He knew what he was preparing them for. He knew what he had spent 3.5 years now, yes, confirming the covenant with all of Israel, but you see, he didn't have to take 12 out and keep them to himself to confirm all of that covenant with Israel. He did that because he knew that a new creation was about to be born from above, and it would involve these men, that they would have to be born from above. And the closer you get to the cross in any of these Gospels, the more of this kind of speaking you see on the part of Christ with his disciples. But whom say ye that I am? Now, I did spend my time Wednesday night with that, because that has to be a question, hon, that is answered in our heart and soul. And it's either going to be answered from an outside observance, something that I have seen, heard, touched, felt, and attributed to the Lord. Maybe it, something the Lord did. But that isn't what he asked them. He didn't ask them about all the things that he did. He didn't ask them that if they believed all the healings that they had seen were real healings. He didn't ask them that. That wasn't his concern at all. His concern was, who do you say that I am? And it was at that time that Peter answered and said, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a powerful statement, because just because of this article that they're the. Thou art the one and the only Christ. Thou art the only Christ there is, the only Christ there will ever be. Thou art the Christ. That's what the word "the" there, that's the impact that it has in this language, in scriptural language here, as it is used here. And it's the same with the Son. None of this can be said to be a Christ or a Son. No. The Son, the one and only Son of the one and only the living God, the one and only living God. Tremendous statement that was made here. And Jesus recognized how tremendous it was. And this was the thing that he wanted to hear, because this is the thing that he wanted in the way that he wanted to show himself to his that he had chosen. That he had chosen. Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, the it there is in italics, unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And we'll get no further than that today, but let me go ahead. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then, verse 19 will be another session altogether. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from then on, he began to talk to them about the cross. And that'll be important when we get to it. Just briefly, then, let's consider something about verse 16. Who am I? Whom do you say that I am? This is the first principle of faith, which faith Paul calls the faith of the Son of God, by which he lived. The faith that comes by the living Word of God speaking in your very soul. The exaltation of the Son by the Father is always the basis of our comprehension and acknowledgement of our union with the Father. I haven't the time to really speak too much along that particular line, but I did write here, I wrote it sitting down there a while ago, that the security of the church does not set upon us. We are secure because we're in Him, even as He is in us. And I want to say that at least this morning, because that is the basis of what we're going to be looking at, not only in chapter 16, but our verse 16, but verse 16 is where we are actually, as a believer, as one in Christ, we're actually introduced. We're actually introduced to that security. We're actually introduced to the Son by the Father Himself. That's what He says here to Peter. The Father. And what is that of Christ? What you see, I'd love to sit here for 3 solid hours, and that would be like 3 minutes to me this morning or any other time. Because we miss things, folks, whether you sitting right here in this room do, you out there throughout the Lord's body, I know we miss things. We hear words. We should hear words. But, hon, they go, how many words did you think these men heard from the mouth of Jesus Christ in 3.5 years, and they still understood nothing? With regard to the deeper things that He would show them in Himself. Look at what happened when He died. Look at what happened at the cross. Darling, had that been for a very long time, had that continued on, none of them would have ever been found. But it was only 3 days, and He found them. And in many cases, He found them. They didn't believe Him when he stood in front of them. You understand? It was just in the natural. It was their natural mind. And he spent 40 days with them, standing right there in the midst of the transition from the old to the new, which was going to come on one day, in one room, at one time. Almost like the flash of a light and the burning of a fire and the twinkling of an eye, because he came with quickness and suddenness when he came to dwell in those that were there waiting on him. And that's why he's saying what he's saying right here. The first principle of faith is to see him as he is, to see him as the Father alone can show him to you. Flesh and blood can't do that, Peter. Seeing me in this body that I am in, this body in which I will go to the cross, has not shown this to you. None of the miracles that I have done, seeing me heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, none of that has shown you this. None of it can. Think about this. Because that's why he asked them, "Whom do you say that I am?" And the Spirit of God is still asking that question to those who have received him. He said to them again, after saying this, he went on, and it's recorded in John, as you well know, "I am," and you just have to look at this, because it, see, all of a sudden you see that. See, that's how the Spirit of God opens the eyes of our understanding, because we're thinking about, how can I, we're still trying to, in a natural, outward way, comprehend who he is spiritually, eternally, and inwardly. And those two comprehensions just won't work with one another. So when he shows this to his disciples, look, he says here, the question is, "Whom say ye that I am?" The focus is on him. I mean, he doesn't start mentioning a bunch of stuff. Focusing upon him. And then where John is recorded in chapter 14, because of a question that was asked, he says to one of the disciples, "I am the way that you've just told me you don't know. I am the way. I am. I am the truth. I am the life. Seeing me, seeing me, you see the way. See me, you see the truth. See me, you see the life. And until you see me with the eyes of your soul, an inward comprehension given by the Spirit of the living God, until you see me, then you do not know the way. You do not know the truth. You do not know the life. You may know many true things, but you do not know the truth even of the things that are true, because I am what makes all of those things true. I am the truth of them. Can you? I mean, you know, you just see, you try to put this in English and you almost just run around in circles. But my point is to bring the whole thing as best we can right to Him. That's what all of this is about. Whom do they say I am? Whom do you say I am? Don't give me a lecture in the theology of truth. Whom do you say I am? See, that's the whole point. We're great ones on preaching and lecturing throughout the church world this morning. It's going on. But we're great ones in our sermons to bring in all of the theologies of it. All of the theologies of it. But the whole point finally has to come to see in Him. Far beyond my words, far beyond all of the descriptions that I can make of it on this blackboard that's behind me here. And we use all of that. We use them because we need the help. But the answer comes in seeing Him, in knowing Him. And so He has said in this same gospel of Matthew, just as He said in John, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth and the life. And it's the same there as the usage of the word the Christ. The Christ. There isn't any other here. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And He has said and goes on to say in another place, He is recorded as saying, no man knoweth who the Son is. No man knoweth who the Son is. They looked at Him. They ate with Him. They did everything with Him. And He's still telling them, no man. No man can. Doesn't Paul tell us the same thing in all of his epistles, and most particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 2? Read that. 2 Corinthians. May have just misled you. That may be 1 Corinthians I'm talking about. If it is, just hang on a minute. I'm finished anyway. Yeah, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 2nd and 3rd and 4th Corinthians would be good to read after you've read 1 Corinthians 2. It really would be. 1 Corinthians 2, and then you can go right on over to 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. But anyway, this is exactly what Paul is saying. Natural man knoweth not, cannot know, can't do it. The Spirit reveals. And He doesn't reveal these things to you in the way that we use to you. Like I'm sitting here talking to you. He does His work in you. In your very heart and soul. And that's where we have to come. No man knoweth who the Son is save the Father. And no man knoweth who the Father is save the Son. And He to whom the Son shall reveal Him. So what I'm saying here, hon, and it's time just to quit saying. that the whole premise upon which this conversation in Matthew 16, the whole premise upon which it is based, is, in effect, have you seen me as only my Father can reveal me to be? Have you seen me by the Spirit of God? Have you seen me? That's the premise. And we'll look at this because nothing else that he says can be set upon any other premise. I mean, he talks about the security, the absoluteness of the security of the church, but it's not the church organization. I will build my church. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But you see, he doesn't just say a church, a that. No, no, no. I will build my church. What a tremendous thing. And then he goes on to talk about the keys to the kingdom with regard to what he speaks of there. And so many believers don't really understand. They have no idea what that's about. It's about what we're talking, it's concerning what we're talking about right now. This is the verse, this is the question, and the answer to this question given by the Father is the basis of everything that he says there with regard to the church and with regard to his kingdom, which is with regard to our union with him. Honey, that union is not something you're going to know with your natural understanding, no matter how many times you read the Bible. And we need to search the Scriptures continually. But it is an understanding concerning Him, not concerning the theology of Him, but concerning Him. And that's what he finally just turned to his disciples and said, "Who do you say I am?" That nearly kills me every time I read it. I can't get by it. I can't get away from it. Because in a more real way than he was standing with them, because he was in a body going to the cross, in a more real way, he is standing in me right now and in you who are born again right now. If you're truly born again, honey, you didn't get that away by receiving Christian doctrine. You got that away by Christ being in you by His Spirit. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit of God. Christ in you. So He's there. And the question that the Spirit of God has come, He'll take of mine, show it unto you, the question again and again, who do you say that I am? And here's the thing. He that asks us that very question is the one and the only one who knows our heart. So you can't get around him on this. He only asks that question that he may show himself to you in a way that you've never seen before. This union is forever. It is eternal. Thank you for being with us. May the Lord richly bless you. Take time to Let us hear from you. If there's anything we can do for you, any way that we can increase the outreach to you, please don't hesitate to let us know. And may the Lord bless all of you who help us in a very wonderful way and in a very giving way to just continue to reach out beyond ourselves with this gospel, the desire to reach throughout His body, around the world. And may the Lord bless as we continue to walk together in Him. Amen. Amen.